All right, we are here. We are Galexis and welcome. Today we speak on magical money manifestation. Now that's three things: manifestation, magic, and money. Put them all together, and you've got quite an amazing experience. We're going to take those three components apart, put them together, so that you can experience magical money manifestation, so that you can evaluate what's going on in your life and align it to having the greatest amount of financial manifestation and magic happen for you. Well, first of all, financial matters, money manifestation, seems to be everywhere. Everyone talks about it. Everybody wants it, particularly during a recession. But there's some things that stand in the way of it. Now, you've heard many of these things before, but we're going to put it in a new context for you. Many of you on a spiritual path have found money to be an annoying nuisance, have found it to be perhaps a hardship, a puzzle that seems to always be unlocking more and more issues to process. And that's because many spiritual people utilize money as their commission of challenge. Now, we've talked about the commission of challenge many times. It's the one area that you use on your physical life, in the manifestation of your life, in the creating and crafting of your life, where you seem to have, or you tend to put, the most problems that stimulate the most growth. The commission of challenge is that if you continuously find yourself challenged with money, for example, then as a spiritual person, you're going to really look deeply at you and money and what money's about and process stuff and evaluate stuff and learn stuff and grow and develop yourself. Now, it doesn't mean that it's exclusive financial. Some people will shift their commission of challenge. At times it'll be financial, at other times it'll be relationship, at other times it'll be health. But it's something that, as far as your collective is concerned, as far as the consciousness of the mainstream is concerned, that you generally don't grow, you don't learn, you don't empower yourself unless you're faced by a challenge. And so this concept of learning is that you've got to suffer first and then work your way out of it. And in the process, you learn something. You become more of who you are. You become more aware, more conscious, more empowered, more free, more secure, happier, more fulfilled. And since in your culture, money seems to occupy a top priority place in the hierarchy of value, money comes in very frequently as an issue to be dealt with, as a commission of challenge for spiritual people. Not that it isn't a commission of challenge for people who are not on a spiritual path. But when you are on a spiritual path, you are looking at it from a slightly different perspective than the average person. You're looking at how you can work with your reality, how you can create for yourself something beautiful and unique for you, how you can emerge your creativity your beauty, your light, your missions, your destiny with this commission of challenge. So it does become a bigger theme. Now, we have noticed in so many situations having to do with money that because it has so much value put upon it in your culture, that it will reflect to you your own sense of value, your own value of yourself. Indeed, in order to have money come to you, you have to have a channel through which money can come of something that you gift to your world that you feel has value to others. Now, of course, some people have a very low self-image, low self-esteem, and they don't perceive that they have much of value to other people. But they do know what is of value to themselves. And you see in your culture that if you value something that feels absolutely wonderful for you, such as creative expression, romance, that it is hard to get other people to pay you to keep enjoying these things. And hence you have in your consensus the archetypal story of the struggling artist, musician, writer, poet, whatever. So you have built in to your setup that there's something about you personally that has to be valuable to others. Now, we would say that this is not quite exactly accurate when you look at it through the mainstream perspective. It's got to have something that is valuable, but something that brings money. It's got to be money valuable, and in your consensus, money value is brought through various marketing strategies to people to convince them they need this, it is extremely important to them, they must have it, and therefore builds the value of whatever it is. That does not, in a sense, encourage a person to feel that what they can express, what they can give, is in and of itself that valuable. So what we would say here is instead of focusing on that particular channel, where can I get money from other people, look at how you see yourself, how you value yourself, how you perceive your light, your significance, your capacity. It is wrapped up in a little package we'd call your self-image, your perceived sense, your capacity of yourself, your power, your light. And so every time you come up against a financial limitation, you must look to the limitation of your self-image. There are certain limits that you grow into, that you learn about, that you set up for yourself. And these limits are generally places of restriction. You know, you've heard that you may have limiting beliefs. Yes, that's a limit. Your self-image may be limited because you may judge yourself. So you create a limit there. But we would suggest that, for example, your self-image is not really a limit. It's actually a sense of boundary, a sense of definition of yourself as distinct from other, as distinct from the world. Your boundary of your definition of yourself is demarcated by your ego. And a lot of people have a tremendous push-pull, up and down, tug-of-war between themselves and what they perceive to be ego. So a lot of people trying to be valuable in your culture will push their ego out there. Say, look at me, I'm so valuable. Look at me, I'm so valuable. I'm so smart. I'm so capable. I'm so valuable. I'm so worthy. And when you don't really own it yourself, that it becomes your ego facade. It's very difficult sometimes to distinguish between ego facades and true self-image. Because the habit of marketing yourself, the habit of marketing, has become very strong in your culture. And you can market beautifully without having much of a positive self-image at all. So what we'd like to say with this is that really instead of looking at the limits, limiting beliefs, limiting self-image, and limits of your imagination, which limits your visions and dreams, or limits of your physical capacity and function of your brain and your body, rather than looking at those as limits, look at them instead as boundaries. Now, the boundaries, if you were to put them all together as a boundaries, it would create like a 3D box. And you, inside this 3D box, can allow so much value, i.e. money, love, health, whatever it is you value, into this box and hold it. Because inside this box is your reservoir, is your capacity. This is your level of playing on that playing field. That is your reality. So what you want to have here is you want to have a box. Your boundaries, your definitions of yourself, your definitions of your preferences, your priorities, your beliefs, your self-image, your imagination, your visions, your dreams, the boundaries of these, to be large enough so that you can receive into your space, into your delineated area, as much prosperity, abundance, happiness, joy, etc., that you can. And that you can hold on to it. Now, you can only hold on to success depending on the size of your box. And so if you want to have a success, financial or otherwise, you have to expand your box. You have to have more room. Otherwise, you can get a tremendous amount of success, but you can't hold on to it. Because it's too much for your box. It spills out of your space. And you're too small to be able to hold that much. So it leaks back out and you're left with your box again. And how much success you can allow into that box. You know, when there's the popular saying, of course, is, you know, to think outside the box. And we would suggest that's actually accurate. If you can dream, imagine, stretch beyond your box, you can begin to expand your boundaries. And the more you expand your boundaries, the more you can hold inside your box. The more success you can allow, the more you can receive for yourself. This is the essential basics of manifestation. Manifestation is your reality. This is it summed up in one phrase. Your reality is dependent on who you are. And who you are is much grander than who you think yourself to be, generally. So it comes down to who you think yourself to be determines how prosperous, how fulfilled you are. Your self-image determines your level of reality creation. And so that's why the ancients said, "Oh man, know thyself." Because if you can discover who you are and understand how beautiful, how magnificent, how divine you are by your very nature, you can allow yourself to receive more, to be more. And your perception of yourself can expand. You can expand the boundary on one side of your box, the boundary that's marked with self-image, perception of self. That can stretch. And if you have a box and you stretch one of the sides, for example, you stretch one of the sides, it will expand the volume of the whole box. So any boundary that you choose to expand consciously and deliberately will expand your success. Now, we've done image expansion many times, and every time you have some kind of financial success, we have said over and over again, keep expanding your self-image, keep expanding. But we want to talk about some of the other boundaries a little bit too. Because this whole idea of who you are is tied up in a lot of your stuff. In other words, what do you believe? If you have judgments or limiting beliefs about what's possible for your physical body, if you have a judgment or a belief about what's the limit of your capacity to receive, a judgment or about your visions and dreams, oh, well, that's too big for me. That's too big of a dream. Then obviously you've got to expand. You've got to move your boundaries. And you can do it by conscious choice. Now, judgment, for example, where when we use the term judgment, we don't really use a term of evaluation. What we are talking about is actually a limiting point of view about something. If you even judge someone as being good and worthy, you can limit them. But it's mostly used in the negative. It's mostly used to judge people's behavior. And there are all these judgments about money and what people do when they're around money, or what they will do for a lot of money, or what is required to get a lot of money. There are a tremendous amount of limited judgments that you grew up with, that your friends have, your family had, that you learn from the media, that sometimes you will find yourself bumping into the very same limitations yourself. The problem with these judgments is that as soon as you encounter the limitation of the judgment, you pronounce it as truth. And then you begin to set your boundaries and lock them in by belief. Lock them, kind of write it in stone, so to speak, that you can't get beyond a certain place. And when this happens, it twists and distorts your imagination, which cannot continue to grow. Your creativity cannot continue to expand. And you go into fantasy, delusion, resentment, rage. You make compromises and you become small because you perceive somehow or another you are inadequate. But you know from a conscious point of view that you can change your beliefs. And when you do so, you can make choices to expand your belief possibility. What if people are really not greedy, but what if people are loving in the business world? You say, but I haven't come across that. Of course, if you believe that people are going to be greedy and manipulative, what are you going to come across? Greedy and manipulative people. And you know this. So you have to project a new level of belief that is broader, that is wider, that is more expanding. And you have to use your imagination to do that. Now, the boundaries of belief will turn into, as you work with this, will turn into a sense of recognition of your power and your capacity. Because if you sit around feeling limited by your beliefs about the world, about yourself, about your capacity, about your body, about your dreams, about anything that has a limit to you, then you tend to believe that's true. But once you understand it's not, once you understand that you're creating all of this, you begin to expand it, and you begin to develop a new story about yourself. You don't go back to your old story, your old self-image, the person that you have been, the person that grew up in your family, in whatever location it was, and in whatever culture it was. You don't have any identification with your past, because the identification with the past is that with a time in which your boundaries or your limits were more restrictive. When you are a child, your limits are rather very small and very defined. You don't have that much power. So when you're an adult, it's really important to recognize that you've got to put into your boundary stretching a new idea of yourself, a new story about you, about your capacity, your possibility, about your body, about how your brain works, about how big you can dream. You've got to put in there a new image of yourself, being able to give things of value and to receive things of value. And to have preferences and priorities based upon acknowledging and honoring the divine within you. So you've got to be able to stretch those boundaries. And the more you stretch the boundaries, the more you receive. The more you receive, the more you can sustain and hold on to. And the bigger you can expand. The more juicy your channels of income can be. The more value you perceive yourself as being able to give to others. So the boundaries have to do with your manifestation. All right? Now, magic plays a role in here too. That's why it's in the title of this talk. Magic is an energy that's not physical. You don't see it happening. It lines stuff up behind the scenes just for you. It enables things to flow. Magic works with you in the divine unfoldment of things. It helps open up opportunities, possibilities, and new directions for you. And these new directions can be very micro. In other words, you might be working on a project and have an amazingly beautiful insight about how to work with that project. Or it can be a macro, aha, macro realization of something new and which will take you into a completely different direction or add a particularly new direction or orientation of thought or possibility or form or action. into what you already have. Now, magic works in the flow. Magic works with energy. Magic and energy are six-dimensional energies. You can't have one without the other. If you want to tap magic, you've got to let the energy move. Many times when you have limitations and boundaries, you don't feel safe stretching them. You don't feel safe outside of them. It's too much of a fluke if you get too successful. Hence, there's a lot of people who's the one album wonder in the music world. And then they go back to wherever they were, kind of a mediocrity. You don't want to have that experience. You don't want that bounce back, that shrink back, which comes with the fear. You want to have courage. Perhaps you might want to look at courage as part of your boundary. Can you stretch your courage and your willingness to dream? But when you can allow yourself to imagine and to dream, to desire, to be motivated, you initiate a flow of energy. We call it the divine flow. Magic works in this flow to manifest, to drop stuff in to you based on where you're going, who you are, where your boundaries are stretched to, what you can receive in the direction you want. But it does it by doing all the connection you don't see. It connects you with the opportunities you don't know about yet. It connects you, people that you know, with other people that you know who are going to come into your life and offer you an opportunity. It's going to connect with your driving patterns even, so that you can find a road that is less traveled and less congested on the way to wherever it is you want to go. That's a kind of physical example. But that's what magic does for you in the emotional, in the mental, and in the manifestation. It finds the flow, the place of greatest flow for you to move in the direction you wish. If you have a positive sense of yourself, a new story for yourself, then that magic will take you to a reality that is in alignment vibrationally to that self you see yourself as being and becoming. Basic manifestation, but it's the magic that pulls the pieces together that allows stuff to just drop in. For example, if you have a business where you have a coaching practice, magic is you getting phone calls of people wanting to work with you. It's just a phone call. That's a manifestation. That's nothing linear, logical, that you earned. It's dropping in by magic. You go to a place with a friend, and you meet somebody. And this meeting turns out to be a wonderful gift for you, a wonderful opportunity that arises from this meeting. That meeting was magic. The materialization of the intangible, that precipitation into physical plane manifestation, is done through magic. Magic means that stuff comes from the beyond, which is actually closer to divine source and therefore more real, more empowered, more light than what you got here. And then it drops little pieces into the physical. Now, the channel used to be way, way back in her earliest spiritual path. a member of a spiritualist church. And there was a medium who was the minister. He was very well known for his ability to create what are called apports. You would go and have a little envelope, put your name on it, an empty envelope, put it up at the altar, and he would go and he would evoke the spirits, the deceased family members, whoever. He would evoke the powers that be on the other side. And you would pray for your financial, romantic, and emotional, and physical needs, desires. And then when it was over, the envelopes would be distributed again. And in your envelope, you'd sealed it. You had licked it and sealed it. Inside your envelope would be little gemstones, little objects. They were gifts to you from the other side. And these were quite miraculous. There are even gurus and teachers who can do this to convince people that this reality is an illusion. What you think is, you know, impenetrable, unchangeable matter. And your belief that it must be, you know, built and developed from something already here gets really blown when you get apports, when something materializes. It's magic. It just comes out of nowhere. Unexplained. Miraculous, perhaps. Magic is done by evoking the energies that are beyond to align the energies beyond with the energies here that are working in the physical, in the flow, so that magic can drop something through to you. You do that by working with your guides, spirit helpers, higher self, and you bring together your vision on the other side, and they and you work together so that you can allow this magic to drop in and precipitate to you. We want to point out, you can't do it all on your own. It requires coordination on the other side so that stuff can precipitate from the non-physical, from the intangible into the tangible to manifest for you. So whatever visualization, meditation you need to do to connect with the intangible energy will contribute tremendously to you being able to manifest like magic, to have that magical manifestation. Now, this meditation or visualization also includes a stretching of your boundaries, because in order for you to get the alignments on the other side, you've got to be aligned with what you want, who you are, and what you feel is you are capable of, and who you are becoming, and where are you going, what your desires for. And you have to have the courage to take action towards that. You see, your guides are not going to come and just give you stuff. They read your subconscious mind, and they read your beliefs, and they can only bring stuff to you and only assist you in your magic depending on what your boundaries are, what your limiting beliefs may allow, what your physical and brain capacity may be able to do. So in order to work with them, you must first expand your aura, your energy field. The more you expand your intangible self, the more you can get in direct connection with your intuition, with your psychic ability, but just with the capacity to perceive more into the non-physical so that you can call your friends who are there wanting to work with you. You are the determinant. They're not determining what you want. They're not determining what you should have. You are. They are working with you to help you manifest. And if you can open up to a real, authentic relationship with those who are intangible and intangible aspects of yourself, such as your higher self. You don't see your higher self physically. You are the part of you. You are a piece of your higher self. You're the part that decided to go physical, that is to live in form. And your higher self loves you, knows who you are, knows your divinity, knows those that you have no limits, really, and can love you and give to you. But only in honor of your will, in honor of your choices that come from your judgments or your beliefs. So whatever you get must be within that. Or just a little stretch, but within that. So you want to stretch your energy field, connect with your unseen friends, and then allow the flow to happen. Now, we've talked at detailed length on all these pieces in other love and healing sessions. And we've talked a lot about allowing things to materialize through magic, allowing the magic to work, even though you don't see it. And your mind goes nuts. I don't see it yet. 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 I've got to do something about it. I've got to do da 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 da. It must be because of this. It must be because of that. And your mind will put down all these limiting beliefs and just chop. Just chop into or eliminate what it is that you desire. You've got to have a connection on the other side so that you can keep the flow going, so that you can allow them to work according to your choices and allow them to precipitate to you the material manifestations that you want. This is magic. Allowing that to happen, having that connection on the other side. And now to money. Now, of course, you've taken all the money workshops, read the books about money and material manifestations. And you know there are limiting beliefs about money, and you probably have worked on them. But money seems still to loom in major significance and major importance. It still seems to be a big deal, a big thing, pivotal, important, critical. And yes, if you don't have any money, you do have a challenge to survive. Money is essentially a way to survive and to survive well. Now, the most usual way of creating money, the usual way, the one that seems to work a little bit more steadily than others, is to work your way into it. Is to have some kind of channel for money and to earn it, to work for it, to build money resources, to incrementally expand your financial life. And that's one of the ways to build money. It happens to be easier for most people, as from a conceptual point of view, But it's much, much harder from the earning and work point of view. It takes a lot of time to build that. But what you're actually doing when you're building a business, for example, or building a practice, or getting investment returns from your money, is that you're just allowing yourself to stretch a little bit. And then when that can hold, you stretch a little bit more, and you stretch a little bit more, and you can dream just a little bit more, and your self-image can increase just a little bit more. In other words, you don't have to do a huge shift. You can do a bunch of little ones and evaluate and learn about each one of them. And those of you on the spiritual path have perhaps bored yourself silly with all the little micro details of expanding your boundaries. Little piece by little piece by little piece, and it's therefore expanding your financial capacity. The only problem with this is that if you take a bit of a leap, the danger is that a part of you is going to freak out, I'm outside the box. I'm outside the boundaries. And you get charged up. You get freaked. You get anxious. You get nervous. What we call charge. It becomes overly heavy, overly significant. And when that happens, and you have fear of any sort, your energy field shrinks. Your boundaries become limits. They shrink back on you. And you lose that money or lose that opportunity. Or it goes into delay until you can get yourself kind of straightened out again and in the flow again. So when there's a little bit of an extra surge, you're more challenged. That's why for many people it's just easier to go the whole route where you work your way up to more and more money and you save and invest and say this and that and you do that and try to get salary increases and da-da-da. And that's the way it's generally set up in your culture as the usual path to greater money. However, if you're not too fascinated with that type of process day by day, and if you don't really like to work that much, and many spiritual people don't really, they really like being out in the ethers and in the great conceptual flows in the high spiritual dimensions, and money is just some kind of thing of necessity on the planet, it's really easy for a spiritual person to go into imagination and fantasy about getting a big chunk of money. For people who are in the mainstream and the consensus, who are tired of working and slaving for seemingly for pennies and actually benefiting somebody else other than themselves and their families, they too will begin to dream a big chunk of money, a really big chunk of money that will take me away from this drudgery, that will solve my problems. A big chunk, like a lottery win, right? And that will give me financial security, and then I can do what I really want to do, the way I want to do it. Then I can really support my family the way I want them to be supported. Then I can gift my world, my reality, you know, with my foundation to help make changes, positive changes in the world. Now, most people in the mainstream don't go to that last one, but spiritual people do generally think about that because they're thinking about the world. They're thinking about the earth, her ecological purity, her capacity to survive the onslaughts and the mess that humans are making of everything, but also to save human race from being so destructive and violent, manipulative, to spare the world so much violence and pain. So you too can get lost in theory, in the concept about waiting for the lottery. But for you, it may not be actually plunking your dollar bill for a chance to win a state lottery. For you, that lottery may come through some kind of miracle investment, some big deal that if once you get that done, big money can ensue. Once you get this done, great money. There's a sense of, okay, just prepare, have the right people, and kaboom. The right deal, the right time, the right everything, it'll line right up, and we can get big money really fast at some point. And this approach to money is vastly different than the plotting, continuously expanding a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and growing a little bit more and a little bit more. To have a big chunk of money come in entails really expanding your limits hugely, getting the magic of your connections with the other side fully lined up in a very intense and close and personal link of energy, to get the energy flow through you hugely, to allow yourself to really hold the resonance, hold that vibration of your expanded self, so that you can be able to sustain a box that's big enough to hold the riches you want to have drop in, rather than ooching the walls a little bit here, a little bit there, and letting it just gently take you through your growth process. This is something where you have to really blast through the limitations to get to a place of or a dream or a level or of imagination, a level of willingness you've never had before, a determination to have whatever it is that you desire, and to have the box, to have the space, to have the capacity to not only receive it, because it's not, can't be a fluke. You've got to have it big enough so that you can receive it and then hold on to it and sustain it. In order to do this, you have to work with your future. You have to work with a future you who is totally comfortable, easy, laid back, nonplussed about getting all that money, about having all that money. You have to kind of connect with a self. To get to keep that boundary out there, you've got to connect with a self that you will be, with the beliefs that you will hold, with the physical lifestyle that you will have, and the level dream vision that you are expressing and fulfilling as something that is easy, effortless, natural, and normal for you. And when it comes to manifesting money, and particularly magically manifesting money, most people fall apart on this one. Because not only do you have to go and find that person who you will be, but you have to step into that and feel the naturalness, the normalness, the one that somebody comes to, okay, you got a, you know, it's come through, that $250,000 came through. Oh, okay, great. Not like throwing up, you know, your hat in the air and dancing a jig and going whoopee, 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 and hugging everybody in sight. Because that's the person for whom it's a fluke. But just to feel the gratitude of how good life is, how natural and normal and magical the flow, and how beautiful the magic works. Oh, yeah, that's great. And now back to what you want to do with it. what you're doing, what you're playing with, what you're focusing on. Receiving it into your box and being at that level of vibration to where it's not a fluke, where it's just natural and normal, and just going on with your life, doing whatever it is that you want to do. Being you. Giving to your planet, if you wish. Being that greater person. Now, when you are in that future you, and having loads of money just plop in, okay, we got another deal. Bang, here's a whole bunch of money. Okay, and here's another deal, and bang, here's a whole bunch of money. To live with that type of energy, with that type of flow, you have to realize that your beliefs about money and your beliefs about people, your image of yourself, your story about yourself, your sense of safety and trust, your sense of freedom, your compassion, your passion, your motivation, you'll be focusing your attention on what it is you want to do. You'll be learning there. For example, if you want to set up a benevolent foundation, then you'll be thinking about, how do you do that? What are the logistics? What kind of people do I work with on my team? You don't go around thinking, oh my gosh, if I have all that money and I let somebody else manage it, I may not know how to deal with it myself. They could take advantage of me. I could lose it. Fear, shrink, no money. The belief system that you have on the other side has got to have a foundation in safety, security, because this is natural and normal to you. It's not a fluke. It's not something that's going, oh, phew, what a relief. I don't have to worry about money anymore. No, what is the you that's going to be there? Not the you that you are now, having a sudden inflow of money going to be. It's a you that is used to having several of these over time. It's going to be, oh, that's great, it worked. Now back to my benevolent foundation. I have an idea about what I want to put there and what I want to do with that. And you're growing in detail in the area of your total absorbed interest. You're having fun. You're enjoying yourself. Now a lot of people think, well, if I have all that money, if I have a few million come in, I'm going to retire and I'm going to kick back out on the porch and I'm just going to, I'm going to have that mansion and I'm going to go out and have my, I'm going to live in Hawaii and get a big house overlooking the ocean or whatever the fantasy is. No, you're not going to do that, because the person who can manifest that and sustain that size box is still going to want to do some things, give some things, and enjoy living on that level in your world with people. Because you're able to receive from your consensus reality. You're able to receive from your world. Your world is safe. You want to be in it. You want to enjoy it. The only reason we're saying this is because essentially, those of you who are here at the planet at this time on a spiritual path did not come here for R&R. You didn't come for a relaxing vacation lifetime where you basically didn't do anything. You came here to do some major leveraging of your spiritual path, major leveraging of soul power. And a lot of it has to do with visualizing and reimagining your world and bringing your world back into harmony, love, and safety. This can be stuff you want to do. Oh, yeah. When you first get a huge amount of money, yeah, maybe you think you might want to take a good vacation. You might want to go and get away from the whole work scene and so on. Yeah, but that's not going to last that long. You have a fantasy of it lasting forever and being wonderful, but it's boring. The real spiritual you is going to want to live your life in that flow, on a higher level, giving and receiving, loving, being free, trusting, being safe, and expanding those incremental things, not with money, but with things that are really absorbingly interesting to you. Being connected with people, being linked with the divine within, being linked with your unseen friends, and working more magic and having more fun. So the challenge is for you to imagine that person you're going to be sustained. That lifestyle you're going to lead, sustained. The routines, habits, and rituals of thought and action of the person you're going to be when money of that magnitude is natural and normal for you every day. When you can do that, when you can hold that, the work that is required to get there, stretching your boundaries, connecting with your unseen friends, dreaming and imagining with courage, and allowing your box to expand and receive more, but being able to hold that new life as real, as just so close to who you really are that you can taste it. You activate the flow. You energize the magic. You open up your capacity to receive. And then all is left is for you to choose what it is you want. And not make big bones about it. Trusting, knowing that it's coming. Allowing the magic to work. Staying in your love, power, freedom, and safety, trust. We've talked about those four pivotal foundation pieces many times. Doing your spiritual stuff that's natural for you as a human being. Love, touch, heal. Imagine, create with passion, and bring into being something of your own dream of yourself to express, to give. And of course, to learn about who you are, to work with your reality as a friend, to get that feedback, to see yourself reflected in the many mirrors of your reality, to understand that you are divine by your nature, to really own the spiritual giant you are. And then it's all quite natural. Now, a lot of people would say, the mainstream would say, what we've just been talking to you about is all woo-woo. But if you know how energy translates into manifestation through the magic and how to open your box to receive it, you will find that your day-to-day actions regarding money are going to change. Your beliefs about money will have shifted. Your beliefs about people and the way they respond around money will begin to shift. You'll see your response to everything coming from a different level. And even if you don't see the money right away, you begin to feel the prosperousness. You begin to get the messages precipitating to you in the areas where you don't have a lot of charge, but just to show you, you are linked to the magic. Just little things that are going to happen to you, everyday magic things, are just going to happen more and more and more. And you're going to see the increase of magic and synchronicities and connections more and more and more. And we're going to use an example of what happened just a day ago or so. Is that the channel and Daniel have a bicycle they want to sell. And they have a guy who's interested in it. But the bicycle had no air in the tires, and it hadn't been ridden for a long time. It had just been sitting in storage. And so they said, well, we got to get a bicycle pump. We got to get air in the tires. So how are we going to do that? Do we have anything? No, we have a mattress pump, air pump for an air mattress, but that's not strong enough. And while they were thinking of it, they were coming back home from a trip, and a neighbor across the street had the garage open, and then there was like five bicycles or so. And the channel looks over and says, oh, that's a lot of bicycles. Ding! They went over there. He went over to say, maybe I could borrow a bicycle pump. Daniel walks over across the street to the garage. There's nobody there. But as he arrives, the woman who owns the house pulls up. He borrows the bicycle pump, comes over, fills up the bicycle tires, takes the bicycle pump back. Voila, it's all done. No more figuring out how in the world are we going to get these tires pumped up when we don't have a bicycle pump. Not having to go buy one, not having to go find, you know, search, go knocking, you know, whatever. Just flow. Magical flow. Just so easy. And things like this happen all the time for them. Just all the time. And if you look at your life, and you'll look at the synchronicities in your life, they will tell you what level of magic you're working on. If you get a bunch of little ones, it shows that you've got yourself in a flow. Now you just need to expand. All right? But if you get what we call martyr magic, where things just seem to go sour, things get twisted, then you realize, okay, my flow is aimed in the wrong direction. Or I hit some limits. So the reason we wanted to do this discussion today is to take care of all those little pieces that you can run up against. Because you can spend years and years and years trying to figure out the little pieces and not let the energy flow through to completion for you, to let the magic really pull it in for you. So in order to utilize magic, manifestation and money all together for you, we wanted to put together this particular discussion. And so we're going to do a meditation shortly. And this meditation is specifically to go through all of these pieces. And we suggest that you use this meditation maybe multiple times to get your money manifestation going, and also to alert yourself to where you've let your boundaries become limitations for you. It's very easy to get a lot of awareness when you go, oh, wow, I feel very limited. I feel limited in my body. I don't have the capacity to work this hard, to do this, and so on. That's a limiting belief about my body. Oh, okay, I can stretch that and imagine myself living comfortably in the type of lifestyle, in the utilizing the kind of energy that my body has and my particular brain function and my style, and it all works. You can figure out whatever it is and keep stretching that in this meditation.